All right, if you got your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 14. We're going to walk through this story and get ready to head into the backside. So if you read Joshua, it's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple breakdown, the book itself is, right? First five chapters are all about the entrance into the promised land. The next set of chapters, about 15 of them or about 10 of them, are all about the conquest of Canaan, the promised land. And then eventually the back end is all about just inheritance, right? How we divide the land up. And so there's a million names and a million tribes. And so all of that comes in the back end of the book. But I want to focus on Joshua 14 in a little bit. But before I do, I want to show you a picture of our dog. Well, I say our dog. Really, this is my daughter's dog. This is Brock. So he is a weird dude, right? But here's the best picture of him we've ever taken. So that's just good parenting, right? That's just good parenting. Anyway, this is our dog, Brock. So I grew up in the country. I grew up in Southern Illinois. We did not have dogs inside. They lived outside. They lived with the elements. They lived with the animals. They lived with the cars driving by your house on the gravel road at 100 miles an hour. They lived and they died in that manner. Come to Florida, and everybody wants to have a dog inside. I get it, it's 180 degrees, right? So my daughters decided they wanted to become rescuers. They wanted dogs from a rescue. So my daughter Kana wanted a rescue dog. So we got her a rescue dog. And then my other daughter, who is much better at asking or giving me, looking for an apology or a sorry than she is for permission, she didn't even ask to bring a dog home. She just went and bought one and brought it home, okay? And so this is Brock. He's been living in our home now. Well, let me say it this way. He's been living in my home because I don't think he's ever paid rent. But he lives in my home and has for the last almost a decade now. And here's the thing. I love dogs. Grew up with them, right? Love the idea that they're man's best friend. Don't agree with that statement, but anyway, I'm fine with it, right? Loved them. I am not a huge fan of sharing my home with an animal. Just not, okay? Don't want my house to smell like him. Don't want my clothes to have his fur on it. Don't want him puking on my floor, peeing on my carpet, or otherwise just being a nuisance. Listen, raising children is hard enough, right? I don't really need this. But I love this dog, so I had to make some compromises, and the biggest compromise I had to make is that I had to give up authority to many rooms in my house to allow him permission to be in them, primarily my living room, right? But I made one rule: he is not allowed in my bedroom. Not allowed. Everything in that bedroom is sacred, set apart, because he is not allowed in that space, right? Listen, I think that's a pretty fair compromise, okay? I feed him. Apparently, I clothe him, right? I take care of him. I just don't want him in my bedroom. So I'm traveling a few months ago, and my wife texts me and she says, "Just so you know." And then I get a picture of this mutt laying in my bed. And she says to me, "He's probably going to sleep in here all night because I'm alone in the apartment and I'll feel safer." Called an attorney, right? No, just kidding. And all of a sudden, my sacred space wasn't sacred anymore, right? I want you to listen to Joshua 14. I want you to listen to Joshua 14. We've got a few verses. Let's read them together. You got Joshua 14. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you to stand. We got about 9 or 10 verses here. Let's read this story. So we've gone through the entrance. We've gone through the conquering. Now we're in the dividing of the territory. It says, the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. And 40 years old, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore this land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. Caleb says, I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore this to me. He swore that the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God, how? Wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he goes on, and he's kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses. Well, Israel moved about in the desert, so here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle as I was then. Now give me this hill, or give me this mountain country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites, or the giants, right, were there, and their cities were large and they were fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, say it with me, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. You can be seated. Joshua was told by Caleb, I followed the Lord, how? Wholeheartedly. That Hebrew word, right? That Hebrew word is the idea of filling something up, right? If I brought out a glass and I filled it wholeheartedly, I would fill it full, yes? Which means then that glass is wholeheartedly doing what it's supposed to do. Brock doesn't belong in my bedroom because that room is wholeheartedly devoted to me. It should contain my stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm married. I get what you're saying. Don't look at me like, no wonder she hates him, right? I get it, right? But you understand what I'm saying, right? It's not Brock's space to leave his hair, his smell, his vomit, his whatever behind, it's mine. The Bible says that Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly, full, to fill, right? All the way up. That's how he did it. But here's the thing. You know, you've heard of, how many of you heard of Caleb? Joshua and Caleb. So you know the story a little bit, right? And you know how all this went down, right? Back in the day when they were two of the 12 spies who were here 45 years before and were supposed to go in, and they couldn't, right? And yet somehow, I want you to think about this. If you're online or in here, this is the part I want you to think about. From the minute God said, this is your space, wholeheartedly yours, to the day that Caleb actually got to begin to claim his land was 45 years. Everybody say it with me. 40, not 45 minutes, not 45 hours, not 45 days. The dude waited 45 years. Years. And so the Bible says he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. That seems to me to be a key reason how he sustained that life for 45 years. So what I want to do is I want to observe three behaviors of Caleb's life that can show us how to live wholeheartedly. Because how many of you know Scripture says this? The greatest commandment is to what? Love the Lord your God with what? Everybody say all. So wholeheartedly, all your heart, all your soul, and all your, right? Wholeheartedly. How many of you online or in here can say, I love the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength, and all my might? How many of you could say that and be 100% honest, right? Thank you for being honest Wednesday night, people. I appreciate you, right? Sunday morning, 9:30, people would have lied like dogs, okay? But listen, that's a challenge. And yet Scripture says this about Caleb. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly. What a challenge, right? So here's the first thing I want to observe, all right? Say it with me. Overcome. You people, listen, God's amazing. He always knows when you're coming before I do. So at the beginning of January, before we ever got Teen Challenge here, I went through Joshua, and this is the chapter that was this week, and we got a call, and they came this week, right? And if there's a group of people sitting in this space who understands that wholeheartedly following the Lord means overcoming your story, can I get a big what? Yeah. Right? Like, that's so true, right? Because listen to what it says in these two verses, Joshua 14:6. The men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Everybody say Jephunneh. He is a Kenizzite. Everybody say Kenizzite. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Why is that a big deal? Because Jephunneh, his daddy, was a Kenizzite, right? Did I hear one of you up here on stage say that you were from Southern Illinois? Where at? Amen. I'm from Newton. Amen. Newton, Illinois, right? So we'll need to talk later, right? Because I hate Lawrenceville, right? Because my final high school basketball game came in the sectional championship in 1982, and Lawrenceville beat us. So hate Lawrenceville, but I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Right? Right? But why is this a big deal? Because Caleb's daddy was Jephunneh, and he was a Kenizzite. Why is that a big deal? Because listen to Genesis 15, right? Genesis 15 says the sun was setting. This is all the way back at Abram's day, before he was Abraham, before Isaac, before Jacob, before Judah, of which Caleb was of the tribe. Way back before that, four generations before that, the sun was setting. Abram fell into a deep sleep. A thick and dreadful darkness came over him. The Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. They will be enslaved and mistreated. Say it with me, church. How long? You ever think God's plan's stupid? I mean, listen, here's his plan, Abram. You're going to have a bunch of kids and a bunch of generations, and I'm going to make them slaves for 400 years. That sounds like a really terrible start to a great plan, yes? Right? They'll be enslaved, mistreated for 400 years. All right. And I'm going to punish the nation. They serve as slaves. And afterward, they will come out with great possessions. Did that happen? Yes or no? Yes, it did. Right? You, he says, Abram, however, will go to your fathers in peace, and you'll be buried at a good old age. Right? In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here. For the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. We read this a few weeks ago. God's always up to more than we could ever imagine, right? When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, right? A smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. This is God making the covenant and owning the covenant. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, and here's what he said. To your descendants, four generations, to your descendants, I will give this land, Canaan, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, right? The land of the, look at this church, the land of the Kenites and what? Kenizzites, right? And you can go on. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, was a Kenizzite, meaning he wasn't Jewish. He was a Gentile heathen living in the land of Canaan before Israel took it over. His backstory is no good. It's like being from Lawrenceville, Illinois. No, I'm just kidding, right? Right? He's a Kenizzite. He's a Kenizzite. And yet the Bible says that he is from the tribe of Judah. Do you know who else comes from the tribe of Judah? Yeah, Jesus. What a story this guy's got. He's a clearly a Gentile from a Gentile heritage that was ultimately became a proselyte of the Jewish people, intermarried with a Jewish person, a Jewish woman, and then became full members of the tribe of Judah. But what a story. He was a Kenizzite that his great, 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 great granddaddy was told, you've got to drive out of the land. And that's your bloodline. That's your bloodline. Listen, you want to follow God wholeheartedly, you're going to have to learn how to overcome your story. Because your story is not, listen, come on. For some of your story, some of you sitting in here, your story is exactly the story of these folks who give their testimony from Teen Challenge. Addiction, loss, despair, rock bottom. For some of you, it's prettier, right? It's divorce and it's adultery and it's pornography. It's this is my past. This is who I am. This is where I've come from. You have no idea. For some of you, you struggle because it's an ethnicity, right? I'm this color. I'm this race. I'm this thing. I'm that thing. And here's the thing. You cannot follow God wholeheartedly if you're caught up on your own story. You can't do it. It's just not possible. And it goes, listen, the Bible is full of nothing but people who are messed up just like you and me, right? Joshua, son of Jephunneh, was a Kenizzite. He was a foreigner in a land that Abram was told is yours. Drive those heathen out. That's your bloodline, Caleb. But it's going to become the bloodline of Judah, the tribe from which Jesus comes. You got to overcome your story. Listen to this scripture. Numbers 13, 6. Skip that one. Go to Galatians 3. Listen to what Paul writes to the New Testament. Understand then that those who believe are children of who? The same guy that just got this promise, right? We're children of Abraham, right? The scripture foresaw that God would justify the what? The Gentiles, the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, right? The cheaters and the liars, the adulterers, the black and the white and the rich and the poor, all of them by what? By faith. Not by your story, not by your heritage, right? None of that stuff. You'll simply be justified by faith and announce the gospel in advance to who? To Abram. All nations will be blessed through you. How many of you online in here know the challenge of following God wholeheartedly because you're more focused on trying to overcome your story than believing in His? Anybody? Yeah, we get it. Listen, you can't be fully devoted to God until you learn that your story is simply something that God is able to overcome. One of my favorite verses in scripture is Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, right? We've been saved by grace. It is through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God so that no one should boast. And everybody online in here says what? Amen, right? But then he says this. He says, we are God's workmanship, masterpiece, right? But here's the word that I love. Created in Christ Jesus to do these good works. That word created there in the Greek is this picture of a woman who sews an old piece of fabric into a new piece of fabric and creates a unique thing out of your story and his story, right? And we get so hung up on our story, and it's the thing that we, listen, at some point, yes, your story is a testimony. Amen? Amen. But if it's the only thing you got, then you're missing what you got. Because we have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have the God of the empty tomb. We have a God who says you're more than a conqueror. Nothing can separate you. And yet how many of us struggle to be wholeheartedly devoted because our story, our failure, our heritage. Listen, it comes with shame and it comes with guilt and it comes with everything that you want to do. I get it. I am one of you, right? But you got to learn how to overcome your story. If there's anybody in the Bible that represents that as well as anybody, it's the woman at the well, right? I mean, what a woman. Hid in the middle of the day at a well, at a desert at noon. Why? Because she had a horrible story. Five men who weren't her husband. Five. And the guy she's got with now ain't her husband either. It's quite a track record, right? And in a society that views her either divorced that many times or more likely a prostitute, right? More likely labeled in that category. She has to do the primary business of life, getting water by herself in 100 degree heat at a well. And Jesus said this to this woman and her stinking story. If you only knew who it was, if you only knew who it was that asked you for a drink, right? If you only knew who it was, you'd ask me and I'd give you living water. And what did she say? She said, give me that water so I never have to come back here again. Why? Because she was sick and tired of being reminded of her story. So many of us live in the cycle of just being reminded of her story. Joshua or Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. You know how he did it? He didn't let his story get in the way. Somebody say amen. Here's the second thing. Accept your peculiarity. Listen, you're weird, I'm weird, right? So I'm gonna pick on one of my staff members today. Maybe she's listening or maybe she's not, I don't know. But I was in a meeting with her this morning and she looked at my shirt and she made fun of my shirt. She said, wow, that's a really, that's a really interesting shirt, right? And I'm like, I thought it was sort of a normal shirt, right? It's black, it's stretchy, it's black. It should be slimming, right? What is happening to you people, okay? But she made fun of my shirt, right? And I felt a little peculiar. I felt a little odd. Anybody ever feel a little odd, right? Listen, part of being able to full and wholeheartedly serve God is you're gonna have to accept your peculiarity. Listen to what Numbers says about Caleb. Check this out. This is back in the beginning of the story, right? When him and Joshua gave the good report and the 10 guys gave the bad report, right? The Lord replied, I have forgiven those people that gave the bad report, as you ask, right, to Moses. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, right? Not one of the men who saw my glory or the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt, not one of them, he says, and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, he says, not one of them, everybody say, not one of them, not one of them are ever going to see the land promised on an oath to their forefathers, right? No one has treated me with contempt will ever see it. Check this out. But because my servant Caleb, say it with me, church, has a different spirit. That Hebrew word's a really cool word. It paints the picture of loitering. Anybody ever been called out for loitering? Right? Like, you get the idea of what loitering is. If you do a little more research on the word, the root word means this, to basically walk in the footsteps of the person in front of you. So the Bible says this about Caleb. He had a different spirit. His spirit was to follow in the footsteps that his faith drove him to in obeying the Lord. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but if you walk in the footsteps of following Jesus, the world's going to think you're weird and odd. Yes or no? Jesus said, the door to destruction is wide and a bunch are gonna find it. But the door that leads to life is narrow. And how many are gonna find it? Few. Listen, if you're not ready to embrace or accept that you're peculiar in the world that we live in, where the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are all passing away, and this world is not my home, and I am a foreigner, an alien, and stranger, and I'm just passing through. If you're not willing to accept that you are, as a follower of Jesus, peculiar, then you're never going to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Right? You're just not going to. I've raised 5 kids. 3 of them are sons. All of them went through the stage where they were morons. Right? All of them went through the stage where they mumbled and the only thing they cared about was eating, right? And then they all became men and they're married and they have jobs. Couldn't be more proud of them. They weren't that complicated to raise because I was always bigger. I was always smarter. I was always better looking, right? I've got 2 daughters. It's really hard raising daughters, right? Really hard. And now, I've got some daughters that have gone through some very difficult things and, you know, they've got Taylor Swift to follow, okay? And thanks to her genius of this era and that era and this era, right? Everything can be labeled, hey, I'm in my blank era, right? So I've got a daughter who's struggling and she said to me one day, she goes, I'm in my villain era. I'm like, I wanted to celebrate it, but I probably needed an explanation, okay? So I got one and I told her, I said, here's the thing about what you just said. You're gonna have to be okay with being the villain all the time, because if you're not, then you're in your poser era. Right? You're welcome. All right, right? But here's the thing. If you're not okay with being peculiar in the eyes of the world, you're just a poser. Right? Listen, you can't wholeheartedly follow the Lord. You can't walk in his steps. You cannot hang around Jesus so long that it would be called loitering unless you're okay with being different, unless you're okay with being weird. Listen to one scripture, right? Go down to 1 John 2, David. It's the next last one of point 2, right? I want to read this. He says, 1 John 2 says this, we know that we've come to know Jesus. Say it with me, church. If pretty clear, right? Bible's not that hard. The man who says, or the woman who says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands is a poser era, right? And the truth isn't in that person. It goes on, right? But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. Everybody online in here, read this with me. Whoever claims to, which means if you walk as Jesus walked in 2025 and you do it in your home, and you do it at your job, you do it at Teen Challenge, you do it wherever you're at, you're going to be peculiar. And if you're not okay with being a person with a different spirit in a world that thinks you should seek your own pleasure, your own happiness, your own goodness, I only want you to do what makes you happy. You do your truth. You do you. You only live once. Listen, if you're not okay with walking in the footsteps of a different truth, that if you want to save your life, you better lose it. And if you want to know the way, the truth, and the life to get to the Father, you better accept Jesus. And that you can't serve 2 masters. And that being friends with the world means you're at odds with God. If you're not okay with that, you're never going to wholeheartedly follow the Lord. You're going to be comfortable, right? You're gonna be comfortable with not ever doing that. Here's what Matthew 16, 24 says. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and you better walk right in those steps. And here's the third thing, and then I'm done. I won't take all the time in the world. We get to close with the baptism tonight, right? Yeah. I want to go back, right? Caleb and Joshua went with the 12 spies the first time. 10 of them said, that place is insane. There are giants. They have fortified cities. And when we stood around them, we looked like grasshoppers. We can't do it. And Joshua and Caleb said, they're right. There's giants, fortified cities. Craziest thing we ever saw. But we got to go because God told us it was ours. So we need to go. And the 10 people stirred up the thousands of people to where they showed up the next morning and told the leaders, we just want to go back home. We want to go back to Egypt. And Joshua and Caleb tore their clothes in disappointment, right? That was 45 years before Joshua 14. And who was right? Were the 10 right or were Joshua and Caleb right? Joshua and Caleb, remember right. You ever been right in an argument with your husband or wife? Nope, thank you for being honest, right? You ever been right when it comes to a disagreement with your employer, right? You ever been right and yet had to suffer the consequences as if you were wrong? How you handle that? No, I want you to listen to what this, because here's the third thing. If you want to follow the Lord wholeheartedly, right, the first thing that you're going to have to do is overcome your story. And the second thing you have to do is accept your peculiarity. But the third thing is you better believe God keeps his word. Joshua and Caleb said, go. 10 said, don't. And thousands believed them, and nobody believed Joshua and Caleb. And God said, here's the deal. You're going to spend the next 40 years, 1 year for every day I let you look at Canaan. And you're going to wander this desert until every person who's 20 years old or older dies. And you're Josh or you're Caleb. And the only thing you did was walk into the land as ordered and came back and gave the same report, except your conclusion was this. God said it was ours. Let's go. And the others didn't. And guess what God gave you as your reward for trusting in him? 40 years of living in the same wilderness, watching the same punishment, burying the same people, and the only thing you did was trust his promise. People quit on their marriages. I can't stay with this idiot. I can't stay with this person. I was right. They were wrong. Why do I have to suffer? You get employed. I can't work here. My boss is a moron. Those rules are stupid. They were wrong. If they'd have just listened to me, we'd have been here, but they didn't. And what do? We whine and we complain and we grumble. Oh, I've got so much church hurt because they just wouldn't listen to me. The leaders and the preachers and those that made the decisions, they don't listen to me, so I have to leave because I'm not going to suffer with their consequences when I was right. Caleb trusted God, and God made him wait for 40 years with the people who were wrong. Does that feel like a good plan to you? No, and not once, not one time. The scripture record that Caleb lost his mind, pointed a finger at God and said, how could you do this to me? You know what he did? He waited for 40 years. And then when it came time to go back in, he fought for 5. And after 45 years, he was back. And why? Because he expected God to keep his promise. Because Deuteronomy 1 says this. It says of Caleb and Joshua, the place where your feet have trodden, I'll give you as an inheritance. 45. Everybody say 45. 45 years to wait with the people that were wrong when all you were was right. Why? Because he expected God to keep his promise. And he showed up 45 years later, promise in pocket, and went, boom, I'd like my land now. I'd like my hill. I'd like to have it. And you can read it. He wipes out three of them, and he could have wiped out four, but he just went, hey, who else here's got my spirit? Matter of fact, if you step up and take the next hill, I'll let you have my daughter. Right? Because Caleb had a different spirit. Listen, I can tell you this right now. You'll never wholeheartedly follow the Lord if you think the only way you can follow the Lord is if you get to live in the consequences of always being right. Sometimes you need to stick around at a church with a pastor who's a moron. Sometimes you need to stick with the job even when you think your boss isn't right. Sometimes you need to make your marriage work even when the person you're married to did something wrong and you're living in the pain of that wrong. Because otherwise you ain't wholeheartedly following anything, right? You need to expect God to keep his promise. You know how many promises God's made to you in Scripture? So many thousand, you can't even count them. And I bet you could probably count on one hand the number of promises that we actually know. Listen, you want to wholeheartedly follow the Lord, you better trust God's promise, and you better trust him to keep it, even if it takes 45 years. Amen? Amen. Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly. What's that mean? His story was something to overcome. His peculiarity was something to accept, and God's promises were something he expected God to keep. So I'm asking you to stand online in here. We're going to quote a verse. We're going to go right over here to watch a baptism while you stand, and then we're going to get out of here. So Father, today, let's read this verse together. Matthew 22, the last one, David, right? Matthew 22. Read this with me online in here. Teacher, which of the is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first commandment.